Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dear listeners, good morning and welcome to Kom Dakhshi, the podcast that opens the doors to the fascinating world of architecture. For newcomers, let me introduce myself. I'm the spokesperson of Anne-Charlotte Despons, PhD in History of Architecture, published author, head of a communication and development agency based in Paris, France, dedicated to architecture. Let's meet every week to discuss culture and architecture and learn how to look at projects through a context and diversity lens. Thank you for being with me today, and now it's time for talent.
Bienvenue dans Kom Dakhshi.
Dear listeners, welcome to the first episode of our Kom Dakhshi summer series, dedicated to color. For architects, what could be more natural than to start with black? Let's walk together the light spectrum from obscurity to full light. This is Esther, and I had the great pleasure of writing this episode on behalf of Anne-Charlotte. Today, our modern heritage often makes us consider color as an ornament, perhaps less worthy than pure form, volumes, and delight. But this was not always the case. Indeed, Le Corbusier himself used color to sculpt his architecture as his paintings. We will talk about this in the episode dedicated to white. To begin with, let us remember what Michel Pastoureau explains in his book entitled Bleu, Histoire d'une couleur. Color is first and foremost a fact of society. There is no transcultural truth about color. For example, while the modern West associates black with death, fear, and austerity, it also connects it with elegance and modernity. Aren't black and white interiors commonly said so chic? In China, according to the theory of the five elements, black corresponds to water. Fire is red, metal is white, wood is green, and earth is yellow. On the other hand, in the Book of Changes, the Yi King, black is the color of the heavens. In ancient Egypt, the black silt of the Nile is renewal. It fertilizes the land and promises good harvests. It gave Egypt its ancient name, Kemet, which means black earth. Thus, each color, its value, and its separation from other colors varies both in time and space. In architecture, black is often represented in our wardrobes, but it is also present in our buildings for its symbolic, visual, and even energetic values. The black structures of Mies van der Rohe come to mind. The German architect was born in 1886 and died in 1969. He directed the Bauhaus School from 1930 until its closure by the Nazis in 1933. He then immigrated to the United States. He theorized what he called skin and bone architecture, separating the envelope, glass curtain walls, from the structure in steel, often black. He thus created a clear structure and free, bright, modular spaces. The black, or at least the dark, is also found in the Trombe wall system. This passive heating principle was invented by Félix Trombe and implemented by the architect Jacques Michel in the 1960s. It consists of placing an external panel of glass in front of a dark wall. This causes a greenhouse effect, which heats the air between the glass and the wall. To let this warm air circulate in the room, openings are made in the lower and upper part of the wall. In addition, the dark wall also stores heat and releases it later into the room. In the warm season, a sunshade prevents overheating and avoids an undesirable greenhouse effect. In the city, black was mostly associated with the coal and soot that slowly covered the cities of the Industrial Revolution. But it was also used brilliantly for the American Radiator Building by Raymond Hood and J. André Fouillou. This skyscraper was built in Art Deco and Gothic style in 1924. It is located in New York City. Architect Raymond Hood became famous in 1922 after winning a competition to design the Chicago Tribune's headquarters, the Tribune Tower. One of the designs from this competition seems to have inspired the structure of the American Radiator Building. Raymond Hood was known for his lack of appreciation for the skyscraper facades of his time. Glass and high-contrast masonry were in vogue. The American Radiator Building is not contrasting. It is black, completely black, except for a few gold bricks. The building is 103 meters high with 23 floors. Almost 90% of the offices are less than 7.6 meters from a window. The central space is occupied by the lift shafts. Also, each level is only 520 square meters of floor space. The lobby is decorated with marble and black mirrors. The ornaments were made by the American sculptor René-Paul Chambellan. On the outside, some elements are covered with bronze and black granite, but it is the black bricks of the facades that give the impression of mass and solidity. Some people whisper that they represent coal, and the gold bricks represent the fire of the company's heaters. However, Raymond Hood himself said that symbolism was not intended. Today you can enjoy a stay in the building, which is now the Bryant Park Hotel. Finally, let's talk about the standing timber church of Fantoft in Norway. Its wood is not blackened by industry or man, but by time, which colors memories in sepia and turns ruins green. This church was built by a Viking people around 1150 in the village of Forten. In 1883, it was sold as a ruin and then moved and rebuilt in Bergen, in the Fantoft neighborhood. In 1992, it was destroyed in a fire and rebuilt 5 years later. The Fantoft Church is based on certain construction techniques found in longships. Standing timber churches, or Stavkirke, are so called because of a vertical mounting of the planks for the walls and the prominence of the corner pillars. These can go up to 8 meters. The Vikings mastered the art of wood carving superbly. The doors and ridges of the churches are richly carved with Christian iconography and pre-Christian Viking motifs, such as dragons and other animals. These churches are the last or perhaps the only examples of medieval architecture built entirely of wood. It is assumed that there were nearly 1,300 of them in Europe, of which 28 remain in Norway. Thank you, dear listeners. This was Esther for Anne-Charlotte. Let's meet again soon in a new summer Kamdashi.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to tune in to our previous content on Instagram at Kamdashi Podcast. If you like it, make sure to promote the podcast by giving it 5 stars on Apple Podcast and adding a comment, or on any of your favorite podcast platforms. And don't forget to subscribe and listen to all of our episodes for free. See you soon, and until then, take care of yourself.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.